Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. Seems that all they ever wanted was a brother.
America. Thanks to everybody who prayed for me while I was in the hospital last week. If you didn't hear me on the Annie Fry Show, from last Tuesday, so not this week, not Memorial Day week, but last Tuesday through Friday, I was in the hospital and yeah, just had a bad lung infection. You probably have heard me talk about it if you have any connection to the show at all, about having cystic fibrosis. Well, it plays out like this, where I will get some sort of mild cold at times, and most of the time I will barrel through it. Sometimes it takes a little longer to get over, but in this case, I got a mild cold in probably February, and I've just been working really hard, doing a lot of labor outside of the radio. And I don't know if maybe just push myself a little bit too hard, especially in the winter, but just wasn't able to really get over it throughout all of February and March. Went on an antibiotic, just a pill, in March through April. In March. And then it kind of was okay. Got me through it, but just kind of pushing through. And then it got worse again. And then went on another antibiotic at the beginning of May. And it just didn't kick it. It wouldn't kick this thing that I've had for way too long. And so finally decided, okay, I got to go into the hospital and get hooked up with a PICC line, which I still have my arm right now, and do the IV antibiotics. Well, that's worked, and it always does. It kicks this thing right in the teeth and then sets me back up for good baseline for however long, and hopefully that'll be a long time once I get this thing out on Tuesday. But anyway, that's what's gone on. That's why you didn't hear me last week on the Annie Fry Show. That's why people have been saying, you know, I've been on some prayer lists, and I really appreciate that because that means a lot. I will say this. Being in the hospital is pretty boring at times, but it's also, it's just like when I had babies, twins. I said it's the most boring, overstimulating thing in the world because nothing's really getting your mind, but you never stop doing stuff. That was the way it was with twins. Well, that's the way the hospital is a little bit too. Nothing's really enjoyable, but you're constantly seeing doctors and respiratory therapists and whatever's constantly. So you don't really even get to rest that much. I will say the one thing that I got done really well this time was that I've been writing this novel for just about a year, and my goal was to finish the first novel in a year. And I actually wrote a first draft, and then I wrote a whole first draft of a second novel that's the sequel, and I'm about halfway through the third one. And I stopped, and I had my editor, who is my wife, look at the first one, and she just ripped it apart. And so I've been rewriting that whole first novel for a bit of time. And man, going to the hospital, you have no distractions other than just those doctors. So I was able to get that thing nearly completed. And I'm pretty confident now that I'll be able to have that thing fully edited and ready for release sometime around maybe September or October of this year. Because you got to go through the process of getting cover art and all this different stuff done too. If you want to do it right anyway, it's a process. So it's not just getting the book done. It's about all the other stuff too. And I feel pretty good about that. And I'm actually very, very glad to be able to share that novel with you. I think it's going to be called The Swine Things, which is a weird title. It's kind of an adaptation of a very old, scary novel from the turn of the century, 1900. But it's a much more, fast-moving version of that. Because the old stuff, if you ever read really old novels, man, there's some cool stuff and there's some really good writing, but they are paced poorly. And so that's what I'm trying to fix to make what is going to be my first non-comedic novel ever or book ever, because the first two I've released, The Life of Human and The Grocery List, those two have a lot of humor in them. This one does not. It is just plain scary, or that's my intention anyway. We'll see once it comes out. But anyway, I say all that to say I have some time. And one of the things I do when I have time is research random stuff like this.
Wow, Wiggins America.
Here's what I discovered. Apparently, in 1981 and 2, the band Journey was at their peak. And they decided that they wanted to commemorate this moment in their band's journey, the journey of Journey, by becoming a video game. Which they did twice. The band Journey became a video game, or they had a video game modeled after their band, two times. The first one was in 1982 for the Atari 2600. This was a really bad game. I watched a little bit of the game, and there is no real reason why you would think, oh, this is Journey. This is the band Journey. You played Pitfall at the time. It's the same look, the same style of characters where you're like, this doesn't look like the band Journey. It just looks like a little Pitfall guy with a couple of pixels. But you control all five band members at a time. You begin with, here's the overall goal of the game. You begin with $50,000, and you must dodge obstacles coming at you like roadies and band managers and stuff. But some of them are good and some of them are bad. So you want to avoid some of them that take your money, and you want to grab some of them like your band manager, who gives you a cash boost. It's basically just one of those back and forth games, like shooter games, where you're just trying to avoid stuff and grab other things. And for some reason, it's Journey. I don't know that the game is worth a lot, but it's just weird. And I found it interesting. But that one is not nearly as interesting as the 1983 Journey arcade game that was made, fashioned around the band. Now, this one actually does look like the band, because they used real digital photographs of the band members' faces, including Steve Perry, Neil Sean, Steve Smith, Jonathan Cain, and Ross Valerie. And so as you're playing each level, you're playing as one of the band members. But it looks so bizarre, because you know how South Park will sometimes grab a real person's face and throw it into the cartoon? Well, that's intended to look kind of stupid and bad. This game is even worse than that, because you're talking about 1983 technology, and they just slap these photographs of the Journey band members on a Pitfall looking guy. But the game itself is really weird. The The point of it is that you are Journey and you are traveling through space, and I guess some crazy planet are such big Journey fans, and they find out, oh my gosh, Journey's traveling in a spaceship by our planet. Let's kidnap them. But they don't quite kidnap the band. They just get all the band's stuff. So each level that you play as a different band member. For instance, when you're Steve Perry, you navigate through a swing set or a bunch of gates to try to find Steve Perry's microphone. And then you have to shoot and destroy the gates. And it's all in space. And then Neil Sean, you have to navigate a cavern using a jetpack to reach Neil Sean's guitar. And each level is different like that. And they play MIDI versions of the band songs. So Neil Sean, you get Chain Reaction. When you're Steve Perry, you hear Don't Stop Believin'. And then at the very end, once you've gathered all the band's instruments and materials, then you get to play one last kind of boss level of the whole band together playing a concert for this planet as Journey. And your only point at the end of that is to ward off crazy alien fans. So you just control the roadie in front of the stage, and you're just blocking fans from getting to the band. So, do you find that interesting? Because when I went into a rabbit hole, I could not stop reading about these crazy things that you don't even know exist. And here's the last thing I'll say before the end of the show. So apparently that arcade game was not meant to have Journey as the focal point of the game. It was meant to have you as the focal point, but they couldn't do just you because the technology at the time had a camera on the arcade machine that would take your picture and put your face into the game. But on test runs of the game, people were just flashing it with their junk, and then their junk was the face of the band or the whatever it was, and they realized, oh no, we can't do it this way. Let's try to make this whole game in retrofit it to be a Journey game instead and use Journey songs, and Journey was down for it. Isn't that bizarre? Those are the kind of things that you research when you're in the hospital by yourself. All right, this is Wiggins America, and now you're smarter. We'll see you next week.
America. This is a